Hello, everyone. Welcome to All Around Rotary, Episode 2 for August 2019. This episode runs about 25 minutes.
Hello, Rotarians and friends. I'm Erna Moraine, District 6000 Governor. My year of service as Governor is for the Rotary Year 2019-2020 that began this past July 1st. I want to thank all Rotarians and friends that listened to our first podcast. We're excited to share many of the activities and events that are going on around District 6000. In this episode, we're highlighting some of the more innovative ways that clubs are attracting new members. We'll be hearing from two different club leaders, Matt Olson, membership chair of the Waukee Club, and Steve Wienicke, who has been the driver of the successful evening group in Ankeny. Matt and his committee have set a goal of 20 new members to add to Waukee's 68 members. They already have either signed or have serious interest from about half a dozen of those 20 since July 1st. Ankeny has successfully added 9 new members to the total membership attending either the Ankeny Noon or Evening Clubs. Let's learn more from these Rotarian leaders.
Friends, we're visiting today with Matt Olson from the Rotary Club of Waukee, and Matt is a fine Rotarian, very active in his club, past president of his club, and he has a new role that both District Governor Erna and I think is pretty impressive, and that is in the role of membership chair. And Matt has been having some very good success with that. And so we thought we'd visit with him, learn some of his ideas and his takes on it. And so, first of all, welcome to All Around Rotary, Matt.
Well, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about how you got started in Rotary, what attracted you, and those types of things. And then maybe a little bit about how you transitioned of being a president now into the membership chair.
Yeah. So my first exposure to Rotary would have been when my father-in-law, Bill Tubbs, who's past district governor, was the governor of Rotary. And I was engaged to his daughter, Anne, at the time. We're married now with 3 children. But we went to the district conference and where he presided over it. And I was just impressed with all of the, you know, the Rotarians that were there, the amount of service that the district had done that year, the exposure to international opportunities to serve as well. And I asked him at that time, I think I must have been 24 years old, I asked him how old you needed to be a Rotarian. And he said there wasn't an age limit. So that was my first exposure to it. Fast forward a few years after that, and there was a new club starting up in the Des Moines area called the Rotary Club of Greater Des Moines, which was focused on recruiting younger professionals to join it. So I was a charter member of that club, and I believe that was in 2000. Must have been about 2010, I want to say. So that was the first time that I became a Rotarian. And ever since, it's just kind of continued to grow my appreciation and my engagement with Rotary in general has grown and increased.
Well, you certainly married into a very fine Rotary family with with past Governor Bill Tubbs, good friend and a wonderful Rotarian. So in your role now as membership chair, tell us a little bit about what your process is for some of the success that you're experiencing there with your club in Waukee.
Are aware that Waukee is a really is a growing community. And the challenge that I threw out there was that our club is not growing at the same pace as our community. So we looked at some of the data to show what the growth rate of our community was. And then we looked at how our own membership trends looked compared to that. And it was pretty striking when we saw the difference. The community on average is growing about 6.5%, whereas our club was fairly stagnant. We'd bring in about 10 new members annually, but through attrition, we'd lose, eight or nine of them as well. So we knew that we had to come at this from multiple angles. So the first thing that we did was the committee got together and we discussed how we want the committee to be set up. We relied a lot on Rotary International's recommendations for committee structure, and we ultimately came to a committee where we had a chair, a vice chair to take over the chair's responsibilities to really build out that continuity that we saw missing from year to year. We have a attraction or recruitment role as well, and their responsibility is to promote the club in the community, to create awareness, build regard and interest of the club, and then ultimately drive initiatives to recruit potential new members. We also have a membership leads sub-chair, so that once somebody raises their hand and expresses interest in the club, we have a dedicated person that is responsible for following up with them. Because what we saw in the past was somebody may be interested, but if the committee chair was on vacation that week or something, that handoff may not always have been made. So we wanted to formalize that so that anytime somebody expressed interest in our club, we'd have a person to go to make sure that they felt welcome and they got the information that they need, some resources that they have available to them, that they have a mentor, and that mentor has regular interactions and touch points to get feedback from the new member on their experience. And then ultimately also to get them engaged with a committee, because what we've seen time and time again is that if we don't get a new member engaged in the inner workings of the club, the likelihood that they're going to leave the club within that first 2 years is pretty high.
I was going to say, as you're kind of explaining your process, it sounds wonderful. Can you shed a little bit of light on how many people are on your committee and how they come to be interested in serving on that committee?
Absolutely. So I was fortunate enough to inherit a healthy committee already. I think we have 8 members on the membership committee today, and we're a club of, as of July 1st, we were a club of 68 members total. So just for perspective there. And we recruited in a few new members. A few of the existing members took on different responsibilities on other committees as well. So we had some switching there. The committee, I think, is healthy right now. We've generated a lot of interest. And one other thing that we did recently was on our application, we added all of our committees and a brief explanation of what they are and check boxes next to them, so that we have an opportunity right out of the gate for new members to express where they want to spend their time and how they want to get involved.
So they can hit the ground running.
Absolutely.
Wow. That just sounds like a wonderful, wonderful process. So now, has your committee established, for example, a stated goal of how many new members they would like to attract in the Rotary year, any metrics like that?
Marketing funnel. And what it is, it's a tool to understand if you want to get X number of people to buy something, or in this case, to become members, then what does the top of the funnel look like? So as an example, if we want to grow from 68 members to 88 members, and we know that on average, we're losing somewhere between 5 and 10 members on an annual basis, our net increase actually has to be closer to 30 new members joining. So we have that, and we believe that doesn't create interest that way. And when you break it down as a per member number, that means that each member needs to talk to 10 to 11 people over the course of a year about Rotary. And we think that from that, four of those people would be interested enough to ask or be receptive and come to a club meeting. And if they come to a club meeting, we think one to two of those four, about 25 to 50% will be interested enough from that experience to join the club, and so on and so forth. So when you break it down that way, it feels much more attainable than just the raw number itself.
Have you had the opportunity to maybe go back in your onboarding process and visit with the new members to say, were there particular aspects of your club or particular aspects of Rotary that caught their attention that you have then subsequently capitalized on to attract more members?
Was the club member's friend to ask, you know, how do you get involved in all of these awesome service opportunities? And that was a nice, easy introduction then for our club member to say, well, it's through Rotary. It gives us the opportunity to do a lot of different service projects. You should come to a meeting with me and check it out.
Oh, that's great. That's coming full circle. That's a great leverage point to be able to work into. I know in my experience that you know, Rotary is a wonderful tradition, and even though we do have some wonderful traditions within Rotary, we have to be willing to kind of step outside of some of those traditions sometimes to attract new members and approach them in different ways. And that's exactly what we're trying to do with All Around Rotary. District Governor Aaron and myself are trying this podcast route, hoping that current Rotarians and maybe future Rotarians will look to this medium as a way to expand the reach and influence of Rotary and hopefully spark the interest of folks coming on board with us. So we've been visiting with Matt Olson from the Rotary Club of Waukee, Iowa, and have been learning about his experience in growing Rotary through a very methodical and intentional process in his membership development committee. So Matt, thank you for visiting with us today, and we hope that you have continued success with your growing your Rotary Club, and that hopefully you will be able to attract many new Rotarians to the club, as well as maybe your ideas might help spur some other clubs to consider growing Rotary in this very unique way.
Well, it's been my pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity to share what our club is doing, so thank you.
You can't help but be impressed with the success of Matt Olson and the Waukee Club and all the fun that they're having in focusing on membership development. Let's visit next with Steve Winneke from the Ankeny Club and their success with a satellite program that is growing Rotary. Let's welcome Steve to this episode of All Around Rotary.
Thank you very much, Sean. I appreciate the opportunity. I look forward to sharing some thoughts with you.
Great. So visit a little bit about how your process came about to decide that your club wanted to create a satellite club. What were some of the thoughts and comments that came through, and what was it that actually kind of took it across the goal line to make it a reality?
Well, to begin with, myself and several other foundational members that are part of the Evening Satellite Club were looking for an alternate date and time and place to meet here in Ankeny, because we were not in a situation where we could meet during the middle of the day for a noon luncheon, which our predominant sponsoring club is a Tuesday noon. So we looked at different examples of what other clubs were doing around the area. We looked at some of the successful clubs that had satellite opportunities, and we said, what makes the best fit for all of us that were interested in doing something totally different and uniquely different than a lot of other clubs nearby that we potentially thought we could attract new members. So we settled on a Tuesday night venue. We meet at 6 p.m. We meet each week. We meet at Wig and Pin Pizza and Pub in Ankeny. It's close to DMAC campus. And one of the key features of what we wanted to do, we wanted to be very social, very engaging, and also one of our core values is that we wanted to live by the principles of Rotary. But most importantly, we wanted to be heavily involved in conducting at least one community service project on a monthly basis. And that's how we've gone about going out and attracting new people that are like-minded.
So with the decision to move outside of your traditional time frame, do you have a different dues structure for this satellite club versus your standing club?
Yes, we do. Great question. Our membership dues for our evening satellite club are significantly lower than what our counterpart, our noon club, does. We do not require our members to pay as part of their membership dues any type of meal. What we typically do for our meetings is we invite those that want to purchase food items and or beverages. Since it's an evening setting, many of our members would like to have a soft drink or a pitcher of beer and share it. And oftentimes we end up sharing a pizza or two, depending upon how many people we have in our meeting, with this excellent pizza that's there. Are you looking for dollar amounts that you would like to know the differences?
No, not necessarily. What I wanted to make sure our listeners were aware of was that you were not saddled with the paradigm of, well, this is what our club's dues are, so everybody's got to pay that. I think that the uniqueness of it, actually, it sounds like it actually plays in your favor that you do have a different structure, and that is attractive to that particular group of Rotarians who want to participate at that level.
That's correct, and that's exactly what we were going after, to try to attract people that wanted to have the flexibility in their schedules to come on a weekly basis, or maybe they can't make it every week, and so the reduced amount of dues that we ask our members to pay is significantly reduced from what they would pay if they were a new member and paying for lunch. But we still have a lot of the same core. We still practice the same core values and ask for members to contribute to the Paul Harris Society on a quarterly basis for a $100 contribution each year.
So what opportunities are there for interaction between your satellite club and your noontime club? What opportunities are there for them to get to know other Rotarians within the group?
Well, I think the key is having a good relationship between the noon club president. Rich Job does a wonderful job reaching out, and we get together on a very routine basis and share what we have going on between both their clubs, and then sharing that information through face-to-face, through our Facebook accounts, through our every other week bulletin called the Ratchet that all members get, and just making sure that all the members from both the clubs know what activities are going on, and making sure that they know that they're welcome and invited to come attend, whether it's a meeting that they want to go listen to a speaker, guest speaker, or if they want to engage in a community service project that we have coming up. All are welcome, to include guests that we encourage our members to reach out and invite guests at any time for any of those events we're doing.
Wow, that sounds like a wonderful, wonderful paradigm to work with in growing Rotary. So as you look at this opportunity, has your club established any particular goals for this satellite club in terms of members, in terms of participation in your community service work, or has it allowed to just kind of be growing organically?
We don't have any hard and fast objectives in writing. We all communicate very effectively, all of our members. What I think is really neat is that we ask our members to be extremely involved and invite them to express their ideas and interest of what they feel are the most important things we should be doing. And we do a lot of brainstorming throughout the year, and that's how we come up with the listing of all the different community service projects we do. We typically will have, so our weekly events look like this, of the 4 weeks during the month. We have 1 week, we have a guest speaker come in. We have another week where we have a Rotary International professional development video training that we select from. Great resources available there. We have a social where our members get to know each other better. And then we have a community service project. And keep in mind, there are some projects, there are many projects that both the Noon and the Evening Club do together that are put together, sponsored. And we have a lot of times where our members from both clubs will get together and participate in different projects throughout the community. Demographics with numbers of members and ages and so forth. We have our oldest member is, believe it or not, 84. Our youngest member is probably, if I had to guess their age, is probably late 20s. We really focus on including and empowering the young people to bring their family members. We are definitely family oriented. It's not uncommon for us to have newborns and young children attending our meetings, and we want to welcome them into our club.
That's great.
We have 10 active members in our evening group right now. And what's really exciting is that we've got some really neat growth things going on right now. We've brought in, inducted 4 new members within the last 6 months. And we have, between the Noon Club and the Evening Club, we have well over 20 other prospective members we're actively working with our club's shared membership committee.
Oh my gosh, that is impressive. And the fact that your members feel comfortable in bringing their young'uns along with them, I think that is a great paradigm shifter for our clubs to realize that all are welcome, and that's really kind of a neat idea going forward. So as you look at the leadership for this effort, is there a specific committee from the larger club that is set up to kind of make sure that this opportunity continues going forward into the future? Or do you see it that Evening Satellite Club kind of self-sustaining itself and growing without direct leadership from the larger club?
Well, I think getting assistance from the Noon Club with our club's membership committee, which is made up of Noon members as well as evening members, taking guidance from officers and the board of directors on new member engagement. They've really set a sight on making this a priority. Both the Noon Club and myself as the Evening Club members. But I think what's really important is to make sure that all of our Rotarians know that they have a vested interest in going out and looking for prospective new members to attend our meetings, social events, community service projects, and get them to come, invite them to become members. And trying to say, think of those people that you know, that you like working with, hanging around with, that may be through work, it may be through an association with your children, the school, the church, whatever the case may be, and think of those like-minded people that have those service-minded hearts and character traits that align with what our Rotary objectives are. And those should be the people that you're bringing to us, and feel free to bring them. And should feel proud to bring those people forward to share a great opportunity of serving a Rotary together.
Yeah, you know, sometimes the hardest thing to do is just make the initial ask up there in Ankeny. So, Steve, we appreciate your time today. Thank you for joining us on All Around Rotary. And I hope that you have continued success with growing Rotary through your satellite program.
Thank you very much, Sean. It's been an honor speaking with you today.
Thanks again to Waukee's Matt Olson and Ankeny's Steve Winicky for their dedication to growing Rotary. Both of these fine Rotarians have offered to support any club's effort to grow Rotary. Their individual email addresses are listed on this post's narrative. Friends, that's a wrap on this episode of All Around Rotary. Feel free to let either District Governor Erna or myself know what you'd like to have featured or other ways that we can make this medium beneficial to our district and Rotary overall. And if you enjoy these podcasts, as we hope that you will, please share them on your club's website, Facebook page, or pass them along to others who might enjoy them. Thanks again for listening, and as always, we look forward to seeing you around Rotary.